Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. We're ranking Penn State's 2018 recruiting class. We've gone through from 23 to 12. I'm not going to read through the list now. You can either listen to the previous segments on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or stay tuned later. I'll recap at the very end. All right, so stick around. We've gone through 23 through 12. We've got 1 through 11 to get to. We're going in reverse order. I'm comparing my rankings. I'm Dustin Hawkins, by the way. I don't think I mentioned that, but you probably already know. Greg Pickles here with me chiming in. We're just working our way through how good we think the 18 class can be. And the answer, I think you'll like, they can be really, really good from top to bottom in this class. And depth has been a strength in previous classes, Greg, but not quite like this. Penn State has not matched quality and quantity quite like this in quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at everything that James Franklin and his staff have done since they arrived on campus, there's simply no comparison, I don't think, to what's happened at Penn State on the recruiting front in years past. Surely they've had some good classes, and certainly there's been some star players, that have overshined and overshadowed some other guys in the class that were a little bit further down the recruiting board. But in the modern age, this is very uncharted water for Penn State, and they have a chance to make it even better in the class of 2019. But we'll talk about that later. It's time to get back to the 2018.
So at 11, I think is probably the biggest difference between Ross's viewpoint and mine. Jahan Dotson, I've got at 11. Ross has him at number 18. I think, well, on the subject of variables, which I mentioned a little earlier, that's what we're trying to assess. And variables tend to mean lower probabilities for success. In Penn State's case with Jahan Dotson, the only variable I see, Greg, is his ability to add 20 or 25 pounds.
Right.
And given all the hoopla around Dwight Gault, all the testing from Barkley and Gesicki, Deshaun Hamilton, Troy Apke, a lot of guys tested really well. Penn State is in the body manipulation business, and I mean that positively. It sounds bad, but it's a good thing, as well as anybody in the country. They're able to make their objectives and get guys to where they want them to. And with Jahan Dotson, I have no reservation saying that he's listed at 5'11", 165 now. In a year or 18 months, he's going to be 5'11", he's going to be 185 pounds, and he's still going to be the exact prototype of what you're looking for in the slot. And I think they started in the 17 class, Greg, with Mac Hippenhammer, KJ Hamler, recruiting guys to play that position in the offense because it wasn't a high priority before that. Jahan Dotson, in the most tangible skills, is the most prototypical slot guy that they have recruited for that position. He's everything as a high school recruit that Deshaun Hamilton, he emerged and he developed wonderfully. Jahan Dotson is a lot further along in that skill set. Talking about quickness, talking about making hard catches look easy, has a good feel for the position, how to get open, how to keep defenders on his hip, all these skills. He's just not huge, and that's okay. At 5'11", he looks like he plays a lot bigger than that. Those are the reasons I have him a little higher than Ross did.
I think that Penn State got lucky that UCLA had the coaching changes, and this is a kid that was looking at leaving not just the state but also the East Coast as a whole to go out, play out in the Pac-12 and for UCLA. Chip Kelly comes in, doesn't really show a whole heck of a lot of interest. Penn State swoops in late and gets a guy it really had no business landing, and he's a slot receiver of the future. I agree with him having him a little bit higher. I understand why Ross put him where he put him. The strength is the one issue. He has to bulk up. I don't think there's any question about that, but as long as he can take care of that off-field stuff, on the field, he's going to be a player for years to come.
If that's the only variable, strength and size,
yep.
That's right in their wheelhouse. At 10, I have Will Levis, the quarterback from Connecticut. Ross had him at 15. To me, he looks like Tommy Stevens did in high school, but where Tommy Stevens was, I think, more of a runner than a passer, in high school. I think Will Levis has a little bit more polish, even if Stevens might have had some edges elsewhere. Like, Tommy Stevens' running ability was off the charts in college, and it's what's getting him on the field in this quote-unquote lion position, but he's come a long way as a passer. Will Levis, his testing numbers, his spark score, his 40, all that stuff is what jumped out. And if you take Penn State, their ability to develop less heralded quarterbacks, and you have a less heralded quarterback who was tucked away nicely in Connecticut, who had an offer from Florida State, who tested more or less off the charts athletically, I like that combination a lot. So Will Levis comes along at a good time, a really, really good developmental prospect. And at the end of the day, every quarterback coming from the high school ranks is a developmental prospect. It has more inherent variables than any position on the field. Will Levis, with that athleticism, I like it a lot.
I think he's a guy that can surprise based on that athleticism. Because, look, I'll tell you what. When he threw for Penn State's coaching staff last summer, I was honestly a little bit leery about whether he was going to get an offer or not, because the deep ball was the question mark, and he didn't throw all that many good deep balls. Now, the group of receivers he was thrown to wasn't all that splendid. The camp was inside, which didn't help anything inside Huluba Hall. So I get it. I'm pretty sure Penn State had its mind made up they were going to offer him before that camp even kicked off. But, yeah, that's the one area to me he has to work on. And, look, every three-star quarterback has something to work on. That's his, among other things. And his athleticism knows the thing that I think will get him on the field sooner rather than later in some capacity. And he's a smart kid, so he can help you in any number of ways.
I would say this about that, too, is that Tommy Stevens was not a flawless passer as a three-star from Indiana. And you've seen, you know, his development. He's a really natural-looking passer now. I don't have any reservations about that. At number nine, I've got Jesse Lucado, the linebacker from Mercyhurst Prep in Erie. Ross has him at 13. You know, there were a bunch of guys who had a couple spots lower than Ross and a little earlier in the rankings. And these three guys in particular are why. So with Jesse Lucado at 6'3 and in the neighborhood of 240. I think Penn State's got him at like 238. He's built now, and the size is great. The size is fine. He's ready to see the field whenever. Could be a really athletic middle linebacker, but I just think that the aggression and the speed with which he does everything helps set him apart. He is not a plodding middle linebacker. He does everything with speed. He's quick to the ball. He lays out opposing ball carriers. He's a physical guy. All that stuff together make me think that he is a really optimal middle linebacker prospect for the future. Probably won't happen right away. And he does have the flexibility, I think, with his ability to move to play, you know, outside as well.
He is the most polarizing player in his class to me, because I can't figure out, based on the level of talent that he played in high school, I just can't get a good read on his film. I don't know why. I just can't. But I agree with everything you just said. It just wouldn't surprise me if he's a guy that is sort of a role player and plays special teams his whole career, or if he starts for 3 years and becomes an all Big Ten pick. Neither one of those two things would surprise me. I'll tell you this, though. The kid might just have the best work ethic in the class, and that can take you a long way. But, yeah, he's one of the guys I just had a hard time putting my finger on. But, like I said, neither end of the spectrum would surprise me here, but it does seem like he's making some nice early strides since he got on campus in January.
It's funny how you mentioned the level of competition. You know whose film really looked good, and that was a big thing, was Robert Windsor.
Yeah.
Back in the day, a few years ago. He was just throwing, you know, he's lining up a defensive tackle, and he's 260 plus pounds already. And he's lining up with kids who are like 5'9", a buck 80, playing on the line. He's just throwing people around. But you saw that worked out pretty well. I think Jesse Lucado, just his natural skills are going to work out well too. I think he's going to be more along the lines of a multi-year starter than a special teamer. At 8, I've got Zach Kuntz. Ross has him at 7. Height and athleticism, obviously huge strengths for him. How big can he get? How much bulk can he add to that frame? Right now, 6'7", in the mid-230s, I think they have him listed. James Franklin has been pretty clear over the years that a tight end who can't block is just a slow wide receiver.
This guy's not slow, though.
What's that?
He's not slow, though.
But he's not
No, I get it. Right, yeah. But Mike, I mean, we're talking about a guy here with Kuntz, and this is where I think it gets interesting with Penn State, is that how much weight do they put on him before he starts to lose that speed, and how much do they prioritize him having the optimal strength to block versus realizing that he's 6'7", a gold medal 100-meter state champion, and can be a nightmare for opposing teams
is
in the red zone.
Is he basically a wide receiver?
Yeah.
You know, and really, I think with him, it gets to the heart of a philosophical debate. James Franklin has a pretty clear guideline of what he's looking for in a tight end. Zach Kuntz is not it. Zach Kuntz is different.
Right.
What does Penn State do with that? Are they going to try to put him in that box? Or are they going to let him be him? I think ideally you'd have him at like 6'7", 250 pounds. Enrolling early helped him with the strength. I don't think you get him too balked up. I don't think you have the expectation that he's going to be a every down blocker. I think he's a guy you move around the formation. And it just means that James Franklin will show a certain type of growth as a coach, because he's been pretty adamant against something like this.
No question about it. And I think that you can't turn down a guy like Kuntz, because again, even if he's not your ideal fit at tight end, he's going to be a red zone nightmare. And he's looked okay, and according to James, in the pass part of being a tight end so far since he arrived on campus in January and started spring practice at the end of March. Yeah, he's going to need to work on blocking, but we knew that coming in. But if you can get that guy in a matchup problem, I mean, think about it. How many times are you looking at opposing defensive backs and even linebackers, and he's going to have what on a lot of these guys? I mean, yeah, sure, if they hit him in the stomach, he might not get up, but I mean, he's stronger than what they thought he was going to be. That's a positive, and I just think that he's too much of a red zone threat to mess around a ton with that. You got to add some weight. There's no question about that, but you just wonder if, you know, where the balance comes between his size and his need for strength compared to his speed, and how much bigger he can get without losing that.
At 7, I've got Jason Oweh. Ross has him at 5. The point being here that from a pure raw tools skill perspective, Oweh might be number 1 in this class. But he hasn't played a lot of football. He's in that 6'5", 240-pound range. There's some bulk that needs to happen. He reminds me a lot of Shane Simmons as a high school prospect. And Simmons needed more or less 2 full seasons to get to the point where he could do a little bit more than hold his own. He was working through that on the field last year. He redshirted as a freshman. Oweh has a higher ceiling, and that's not any disrespect to Simmons, but Jason Oweh is just athletically on a different level. It's just he needs some development time there. At 6, similarly, I'd say Nana Asidu at 6'6 in the 280-pound range. He's got a higher ceiling than Rashid Walker among the offensive tackles in his class, but there's just more questions right away about his development trajectory. He's got all the ability to be a high NFL draft pick. He's not Sterling Jenkins. I wouldn't put him in that category, mainly because Asidu is just – he's a pretty electric athlete there. And I think the ceiling is huge. He just needs a little bit of work to make sure he's not a glorified tight end.
Yeah, I agree completely with that.
There you go. Good point. Yeah. All right, we got number 1 through 5 are coming up in our 2018 recruiting ranking special. Stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all you can eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.